Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is side two of For the Record program number 358, titled Mein Jihad, Part 6, Islamofascism and the Wahhabi Lobby. This is being recorded on May 6th of 2002. We're going to continue right where we left off at the end of side one. This is with a discussion on a website called the Root and Branch Association Limited, an Islam-Israel friendship, co-chaired by Sheikh Professor Abdul Hadi Palazzi, the Muslim co-chairman, and Dr. Asher Eder, E-D-E-R, the Jewish co-chairman. This can be accessed at the website www.rb.org.il/Islam-Israel. The full web address will be on the description, which will probably be on the Spitfire website by midweek, perhaps probably by the evening, by May 8th. Of 2002. Now, on this website, there is an article by Sheikh Professor Abdul Hadi Palazzi, the Secretary General of the Italian Muslim Association, and also an imam with the Italian Islamic Community. It's called In Defense of Stephen Emerson and Daniel Pipes. And specifically, Sheikh Palazzi has some very interesting things to say here about the CAIR, which we looked at inside one of this program, and the connections between that organization and the Al-Taqwa Milieu were examined in For the Record 357. Now, Sheikh Palazzi, in this discussion, links the CAIR with the Muslim Brotherhood, an Islamo-fascist organization that we have looked at in the past. Basically, Sheikh Palazzi maintains that this organization, in effect, sort of runs PR interference for elements associated with the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood emphatically denies involvement in terrorism. There is considerable evidence to the contrary. The Muslim Brotherhood has an historical relationship with international fascism. We've looked at it in many broadcasts, including and especially For the Record 343, number 354, number 351 as well. Of the CAIR and the Muslim Brotherhood, Sheikh Palazzi states, I would also add that the center of worldwide radicalism is a sect called the Muslim Brotherhood, unquote. This sect has sections engaged in direct terrorism such as Hamas and sections not directly engaged in terrorism such as CAIR. Although their links to Hamas are clear, CAIR is permitted to act freely in the United States. CAIR claims to represent, unquote, the Muslim community and launches hate campaigns against journalists, senators, and others who interfere with their true terrorist agenda. Let us look at CAIR's carryings on during the past few years. I receive all of their press releases. And skipping down, after discussing some of their attacks and his own differences with them, and again, he is an imam with the Italian Muslim community, according to the con artists at CAIR, anyone who denounces Islamic radicalism is Islamophobic. CAIR cares to attack Mr. Emerson and Dr. Pipes because they are revealing the true radical agenda, as well as revealing the connection between CAIR and those organizations that are classified as terrorist by the United States law. And one of the things that he points out is that this basically, characterizing anti-terrorist elements in this fashion, the CAIR is basically able to get invited to the White House, as he notes here, as Sheikh Palazzi notes. Hisham Kabani correctly identifies the origin of contemporary radicalism in Wahhabism. Kabani correctly divides contemporary radicals into two groups: militants, those who directly engage in terrorism, and non-militants, those who indirectly support terrorism while maintaining a false respectability so that they can get invited to receptions at the White House, i.e. the wolves in sheep's clothing. I agree with Mr. Kabani 100% on this issue. And bear in mind, too, the observations in that we looked at the first part of the program by Harvard Professor of Islamic Studies Ali Asani. Now, we're going to take a look at the milieu of Al-Taqwa and Al-Qaeda, and in particular, NADA Management. Now, this is an organization that we've spoken about many times in the past, and in particular, note the observations by Sheikh Palazzi that the CAIR is connected to the Muslim Brotherhood. That's an institution that we've looked at many times in the past. We're going to turn to a discussion of members of the Muslim Brotherhood, and I think this goes directly to the substance of what is really so sensitive about this entire issue, namely the cloaking of civil liberties / civil rights and alleged discrimination, the cloaking basically of Islamofascism and terrorism within that rubric. And it should be noted that basically democracy and civil liberty should be preserved, but they can also be abused. In particular, Josef Goebbels was quite frank about stating that Nazis would, that the Third Reich, that National Socialism would use democracy and a free press to gain power, but that they would not allow others to use those same vehicles to oppose them. In that context, and in the context of the allegations by Sheikh Palazzi, and others about CAIR, and note the profound connections between CAIR and the Republican Party, we're going to turn again to the book Dollars for Terror by Richard LaBeviere, subtitled The United States and Islam. This book was published in softcover by Algora Publishers. You can visit their website at www.algora.com. The ISBN number is 1-892-941-06-6. And this book was published in 1999 in French. It was translated by Martin Demers and published in English in the year 2000. We're going to review an element of the discussion concerning the Muslim Brotherhood, again, apparently connected to CAIR, which certainly overlaps the Al-Taqwa milieu. It is certainly an important part of the Wahhabi lobby, and in turn, the CAIR-Al-Taqwa milieu has the most profound connections with the Republican Party's GOP, the Republican Party's Ethnic Outreach Organization, which in the past has served as a repository for Third Reich elements. Those in turn evolved into a profound, literally fascist/Nazi element of the Republican Party. So the discovery that Islamo-fascist elements would be taking their place in the GOP ethnic outreach organization alongside the Iron Guard, the Bulgarian National Front, the Croatian Ustashi, Ukrainian and Baltic Waffen-SS units, including at least one Belarusian SS intelligence unit that was brought complete and intact into the United States, well, this should not come as a great surprise. Please note that the Crusade for Freedom, the illegal domestic intelligence organization under which these European Nazis and fascists were brought into the United States, was run by people with strong connections to the Bush milieu. The Crusade for Freedom was run by Alan Dulles, who advised the Bush family's Third Reich investments. Its spokesperson was Ronald Reagan. The person who handled the Crusade for Freedom was Richard Nixon, who was credited by the elder George Bush in his autobiography with being his political mentor. The elder George Bush incorporated the Nazis into a formal branch of the Republican Party under Richard Nixon when the elder Bush was chairman of the Republican National Committee, and William Casey, the chairman of the Reagan-Bush campaign in 1980 and then director of the CIA, handled the State Department machinations to bring these Nazis and fascists into the United States in the first place. They then became an important element of the Republican Party. They have apparently been joined by the Islamofascists. Now, again, CAIR and the Muslim Brotherhood. And in turn, we're going to be taking a look at the Ramadan family. That is Saeed Ramadan, and who was the son-in-law of Hassan al-Banna, the founder of the Muslim Brotherhood. We're going to be taking a look at basically Hani Ramadan and Ramadan Tariq. Those are the two sons of Saeed Ramadan, who we looked at in For the Record 343. We came back to him in For the Record 350 and number 351. Now, bearing in mind the CAIR and their usurpation, other organizations with strong connections to Islamofascism, bear in mind their usurpation of the position of spokespersons or mouthpieces for the Muslim community, not only in the United States but elsewhere, and consider basically what the Muslim Brotherhood, an Islamo-fascist organization alleged by Sheikh Palazzi to be connected to CIIR. Let's listen to basically how they were choosing to operate in Europe. Referring to Hani Ramadan, the author of Dollars for Terror, Richard LaBeviere, writes, "His various activities have led to many, quote, conferences, unquote, at the Islamic Center of the OVIV, that's in Geneva, Switzerland, where in recent years many demonstrations and open-air prayer sessions have been held for various Islamist causes in front of the European seat of the United Nations. Quote, the advantage of our presence in Europe, unquote, Hani Ramadan says, again quoting, is that we can take advantage of the freedom of the democratic regimes, unquote. That sentence again. The advantage of our presence in Europe, Hani Ramadan says, is that we can take advantage of the freedom of the democratic regimes, unquote. I think one can safely extrapolate from Hani Ramadan's statements about Europe to those of the United States as well. And again, it's important to preserve civil liberties. On the other hand, it's also important to fight fascism. And one should consider very carefully whether organizations like CAIR and some of the other elements of the Wahhabi lobby, these other Islamo-fascist organizations, should on the one hand be allowed to speak for Muslims in the United States and worldwide, and whether they should also be allowed to cloak pro-terrorist activities and Islamo-fascist activities with the facade of civil rights and civil liberties. Civil rights are important to maintain. But if past a point, if we give the Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda, Al-Taqwa, Ahmed Huber and the heirs to François Genoux, if we give them liberty, they'll give us death. Continuing with this text by Richard LaBeviere, for example, on March 11, 1995, Hani Ramadan spoke at a gathering that was officially organized by the Algerian FIS. The demonstration, in fact, brought together the European supporters of the Armed Islamic Groups, or GIA, and the center directed by Ramadan, which has enough meeting space for some 20 people, is also used as a hub for the European representatives of various organizations that are under surveillance by several European police forces. And that is very interesting indeed. And again, that book, that excerpt from Dollars for Terror by Richard LaBeviere, a book that we've looked at many times in the past. Now, bearing in mind the Muslim Brotherhood's profound connections to Al-Taqwa slash Al-Qaeda, or Al-Taqwa slash NADA management, that is an extremely complex organization alleged in the San Francisco article of March 12th to have been founded by François Genoux. We discussed that in, for the record, 352. We're going to take a look now at an article that was posted on a website that deals with the Swiss financial industry. This website is www.swissinfo.ch from September 26th. Of 2001. This article is from the Keystone Archive. It's headlined, Switzerland Confirms Role in U.S. Anti-Terror Probe, subtitled, A Swiss Government Agency Has Requested Information on the Al-Taqwa Management Company in Lugano. Again, the website, www.swissinfo.ch, September 26th of 2001. Skipping down, speaking about Al-Taqwa, Al-Taqwa had been certified by the Swiss Federal Banking Commission last year to be neither a bank nor a financial intermediary. In other words, to fall outside the country's money laundering control mechanisms. But reports in Blick, that's B-L-I-C-K, and other Swiss media, allegedly based on Foreign Secret Service reports, suggested last week that millions of bin Laden's funds had been moved through Al-Taqwa. Again, note here that the Swiss Federal Banking Commission had certified Al-Taqwa to be neither a bank nor a financial intermediary. In analyzing Al-Taqwa, which had enormous financial assets, many people have noted that it, although it was apparently very powerful, and it was described by people such as Ahmed Huber as having very, very powerful Saudi backers, that the enormous funds at the disposal of Al-Qaeda slash NADA, or Al-Taqwa rather, slash NADA management were apparently being moved around the world with relative secrecy, that in places Al-Taqwa was nothing more than a an address and an account number. We have noted in the past, specifically and for the record, 356 and 357, the links described by European money laundering expert Ernest Backes, who helped to set up the Clearstream network, now owned by the Deutsche Börse. Ernest Backes basically said that Clearstream and allegedly François Genoux had the most profound connections, not only to the funding of September 11th, but apparently Clearstream and Altaqua and the Banco del Gotardo had profound links as well, not only according to Ernest Backes, but others. I realize these names are not necessarily the most familiar to members of the listening audience. They sure as hell aren't exactly household words. That's why the research is being done, and that's also why I'm pedantically accessing the sources. Please utilize the descriptions on the Spitfire website, www.spitfirelist.com. All of the programs about September 11th have been reformatted. That's For the Record 325 on up. Even if you're not online, you can go to a library and have a librarian print them up for you. We're going to be taking a look at Altaqua / Nada Management, alleged in a Chronicle article to have been founded by François Genoux, alleged by many, and apparently with strong documentation, to be connected to the Clearstream network, in turn connected to BCCI and other elements, Altaqua, and the Banco del Gotardo with strong connections. And please note that this very complex milieu, in turn, has the most profound connections to the GOP and to the Bush administration, in particular to the GOP ethnic outreach organization. We're going to take a look now at an article. This appeared on a website, Studien von Zeit. This is the Studien von Zeitfragen, and this is from the Jahrgang Internetsausgabe number 2001, basically the internet yearbook. This is volume 35, Jahrgang Internetsausgabe 2001. The full web of the web address, www.studienfonzeit, and the full web address, rather, will be on the Spitfire website. It's long and involved, and I don't think it's necessarily going to make the best radio to read the whole URL online. This is a rather complex radio, I guess one could say, at best. This article, again from the Studien von Zeitfragen, 35 Jahrgang Internet Ausgabe 2001. This article is called The Politics of Three: Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, and Israel. It's authored by Paul W. Rasha and is subtitled Subversive Money. Now, of the Altaqua Al-Qaeda milieu, we read, and but note here not only the role of Prince Turki, a member of the Saudi royal family, and the former chief of Saudi intelligence, who after 20-plus years was replaced as the chief of Saudi intelligence the week before the September 11th attacks. Note here that Prince Turki apparently was connected to the Altaqua milieu, and note here that it is that apparently Yosef Nada, the head of Altaqua and Nada Management, settled in, moved to Saudi Arabia in 1970, made contacts with the Saudi royal family, apparently worked with Prince Turki, who was alleged in the book Dollars for Terror to have basically run bin Laden and Al-Qaeda for Saudi intelligence, and note the Muslim Brotherhood, Altaqua, Yosef Nada, Saudi royal family links that are alleged here. Turning once again to The Politics of Three: Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, and Israel by Paul W. Rasha, R-A-S-C-H-E, we read, skipping down, the role of Saudi Arabian wealthy families in secret funding of Al-Qaeda and other Islamist terror organizations has to date been kept deliberately in the background by Washington, largely out of sensitivity to the precarious internal situation in Saudi Arabia itself. King Fahd is near death, and his designated successor, Crown Prince Abdullah, is known to be more actively hostile to American foreign policy and more sympathetic to militant Wahhabite clerical Sunni currents in the Islamic world. In the succession process now underway, the crucial question is whether moderate voices within the royal family will be given significant policy posts or not. Washington knows well that a head-on clash with the Saudi royal house at present would serve the interests only of the radical faction inside the royal family. A major strategic goal of the Al-Qaeda terror attacks, including inside Saudi Arabia itself in recent years, has been to escalate the pressure on the Western corrupt, unquote, elements of the Saudi royal house with the aim of replacing them with fanatical feudalist Wahhabite elements, a kind of Talibanization of the Saudi kingdom. The internal Saudi situation is complicated by the fact that many very wealthy Saudi families financially support the Al-Qaeda effort as part of a strategy of purging the Saudi kingdom of infidelism and Western corruption. In many cases, these influential Saudis reach into the extended royal family, including the murky figure of recently fired Saudi intelligence chief Turki Al-Faisal, son of the late King Faisal. By the way, we took a look at his removal the week before September 11th, and for the record, 334 and 337, among other broadcasts. Continuing. In this regard, an extremely important step in the international effort to cut off the financial tentacles of the Islamist terror apparatus took place on November 7th. By the way, this article was published in 2001. That day, a coordinated governmental shutdown of Hawala operations from Boston to Lugano, Switzerland, to Vaduz, Liechtenstein, to the Bahamas took place, led by the U.S. Treasury and the FBI. The targets were two groups of international Hawala banks, Al-Barakat of Mogadishu, Somalia, and Dubai, and Al-Taqwa Trade, Property, and Industry of Vaduz, Liechtenstein, and its bank Al-Taqwa Limited of the Bahamas, and Al-Taqwa Bank of Lugano, Switzerland. Significant to note, in the days immediately after September 11th, when investigation focused on a series of suspicious short trades in the stocks of key airlines and insurance companies such as Swiss Re, certain to be negatively impacted by the World Trade Center attack, Swiss prosecutors investigated the likely role of the Lugano Al-Taqwa Bank using a stock brokerage in Milan. The president of the Al-Taqwa Bank Group is Youssef Mustafa Nada, naturalized Italian, and a member of the Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood, a note alleged to be connected to CIIR by Sheikh Palazzi. Beginning again, the president of the Al-Taqwa Bank Group is Youssef Mustafa Nada, naturalized Italian, and a member of the Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood and Jama' al-Islamiyah, or Islamia, which is allied with Al-Qaeda through Dr. Ayman al-Zawahiri, said by some intelligence sources to be the brains behind bin Laden. When the Bahamas closed Al-Taqwa Bank Limited early this year, Swiss authorities required a name change in Al-Taqwa Bank, which then became registered in Switzerland as Nada Management Organization S.A. It is the same Al-Taqwa Bank. Now, note the following passage here, again noting Youssef Nada, his connections to the Muslim Brotherhood. Note the Muslim Brotherhood's Islamo-fascist heritage. And note the allegation here that Youssef Nada specifically moved to Saudi Arabia, got into the construction business, made contact with the Saudi royal family, and apparently here worked with Prince Turki, the Saudi intelligence chief, at least indirectly, if not directly. Continuing with this analysis, in 1970, Youssef Nada moved to Saudi Arabia and, with help from the Muslim Brotherhood, established contact with members of the Saudi royal family and founded a construction company in Riyadh, much the same as the bin Laden family. He remained active in Riyadh and soon founded the first Islamic bank in Egypt, the Faisal Bank. The Faisal Islamic Bank of Saudi Arabia is the head bank of a number of affiliated Islamic banks under the name across the Islamic world, from Egypt to Pakistan, to the Emirates, and Malaysia. This last sentence again. The Faisal Islamic Bank of Saudi Arabia is the head bank of a number of affiliated Islamic banks under the name across the Islamic world from Egypt to Pakistan to the Emirates and Malaysia. And again, Youssef Nada, according to this, with help from the Muslim Brotherhood, established contact with members of the Saudi royal family, founded a construction company in Riyadh, rather like the bin Laden family, and helped to found the first Islamic bank in Egypt, the Faisal Bank. Continuing. The head of Faisal Islamic Bank of Saudi Arabia is former Saudi intelligence chief Turki al-Faisal. Faisal Islamic Bank is directly involved in running accounts for bin Laden and his associates, and has been named by Luxembourg banking authorities in this regard. And note again some of the allegations that we've looked at in the past, not only vis-a-vis the Muslim Brotherhood, but also the NADA management organization. Youssef Nada himself has apparently connections going all the way back to the World War II period, and I would note that he was alleged to have worked for German intelligence. In the book Dollars for Terror, it is basically alleged. But Youssef Nada is even better known to the Egyptian intelligence services, who have evidence of his membership in the armed branch of the Fraternity of the Muslim Brothers in the 1940s. At that time, according to the same sources, he was working for the Abwehr under Admiral Canaris and took part in a plot against King Farouk. This was not the first time that the path of the Muslim Brothers crossed that of the servants of the Third Reich, unquote. And of the Islamo-fascist nature of the Muslim Brotherhood, we read, taking Italy's choices under Mussolini for inspiration, the economic program, this also from Dollars for Terror, the economic program set three priorities. The social policy foresaw a new law on labor founded on corporations. This economic program would more directly reveal its relationship to totalitarian ideologies a few years later with the works of Mohammad Ghazali. Mohammad Ghazali recommended, quote, an economic regimen similar to that which existed in Nazi Germany and fascist Italy, unquote. The moral code is also an important component in this program, which is intended to create the new Muslim man, unquote. The notion of the equality of the sexes is inherently negated by the concept of the supremacy of male social responsibilities. The, quote, natural, unquote, place of the woman is in the home, unquote. And by way of concluding this discussion, I want to note that this past week there was a very interesting obituary. I don't want to make too much of this. The man was 81 years old, and certainly people die at that age and younger. I would also note, though, he's almost 20 years younger than Strom Thurmond, who allegedly is still alive and certainly is serving in the Senate. This individual is a person whose family, the Thiessens, are a key component of the Bormann organization, and they're the business relationships between the Thiessen family, backers of the Third Reich, and the Bush family go all the way back to the 1920s. We've looked at that in many programs. In particular, Heinrich Thiessen Bornemisza, was based in Lugano, Switzerland, as was Youssef Nada. The New York Times of Sunday, April 28th of 2002, had the following obituary by Jonathan Kandel, headlined, Baron Thiessen Bornemisza, industrialist who built fabled art collection, dies at 81. And it notes Baron Bornemisza, and it notes his father, and the fact that he was a backer of Hitler, that he moved to Holland, and note also that his daughter, Francesca, is married to Karl von Habsburg, the scion of the ruling house of Austria, the Habsburgs. This obituary, again, from the San Francisco Chronicle of Sunday, April 28th of 2002, on page 39, Baron Thiessen Bornemisza, industrialist who built fabled art collection, dies at 81. Again, I don't want to make too much of the fact that the man died. 81-year-olds do die. But the timing was very interesting. He died on April 13th, and he was based in Lugano, Switzerland. That is where Nada Management was, and in For the Record 343, among other broadcasts, I speculated that Nada Management and the Muslim Brotherhood were connected to the Bormann Organization and Heinrich Thiessen Bornemisza. That concludes Side 2 of For the Record program number 358, Mein Jihad, Part 6, Islamo-Fascism and the Wahhabi Lobby. This has been recorded on May 6th of 2002. My name's Dave Emery.